You know, one of the more... What? I have 10 children. And that's really why I come to this studio. I don't care what this studio looks like. I don't care the decor. You know, some of these guys who do these shows, they have to have fancy studios. They have to have fancy mics. They have to have fancy... I don't care about any of that. It's meaningless to me. What matters to me, there's only one thing a studio has to have. Silence. It's soundproof. Soundproof. That's a word that has become, well, similar to nirvana or heaven or ecstasy or paradise for me. Soundproof. I have 10 children. Studio. Soundproof. Good. One of the reasons, and I hesitate to say this, but hey, come on. One of the reasons, although it's a distant reason, it's not even in the top 500. One of the reasons that I have 10 children is because I got tired of hearing people say, "Do you have any kids?" When I used to do talks and do therapy. "Do you have any children?" I said, "No, but I've driven around one once. I saw one on a ball field once. I was a kid once." Back when I was childless, 1907, something like that. It seems like another life ago. I got that. Anybody who is a teacher, pediatrician, social worker, you're going to get it. You're going to get it from people who don't want to hear what you have to say, even if they come to you to hear what you had to say. That was the ultimate irony. Folks would pay to come to hear what I had to say, and then when I said it, they'd say, "Do you have any kids?" Well, then what'd you come here for? But there are so many ways to look at a question like that. "Do you have any children?" "Yes, I have 10, so be quiet." Usually shuts most people up. See, there's an irony to that, too. They now think I'm an expert because I have 10 kids. That has nothing to do with it. I would venture to say 98% of what I know about children and families comes from experience living in the field with other children and other families, and 2% comes from having my own 10. Even though I have 10, even though that's a big sample size by American standards today, that's a very, 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 very small number upon which to base observations of children. Anyway, so they used to say, "Do you have any children?" And I would offer some standard defenses. I said, "Well, you know, I've never been an alcoholic, so I don't know if I could work with alcoholics. As far as I know, I was never on drugs. That means I can't work with people who were not on drugs. And what kind of drugs? You know, if I was on drugs, maybe I was never on cocaine. So maybe I shouldn't work with people who've been on cocaine." I was never, as far back as I can remember, an adolescent girl. Should I not be able to work with adolescent girls? I was never in trouble with the law, so that eliminates a whole segment of people that I can work with. In the end, it got down to I could work with 33-year-old single white males who went to college because they could say, "Have you ever dropped out of high school?" "No, no, I haven't." "Have you ever had a parole officer?" "No, no, I haven't." "Well, then what are you doing telling me?" And, you know, you think that sounds extreme, but I worked in a veterans hospital for a year, and we had the daycare program where the guys would come during the day. And one of the fellows in there, we couldn't reach him because you know what he said? "Have you ever been in prison? Then don't tell me." So I could offer him nothing because I never had the prison experience. I wanted to have prison issues, but I couldn't. So that's the first thing. If you have to experience everything that you ever give anybody any guidance or ideas on, you're going to be dead. I never would have made it out of my 13th or 14th year. I'd have been dead. So don't do this to priests either, huh, guys? Don't do this to priests. Their insights, their ideas, their feedback is based upon their understanding of human nature and their experience with an awful lot of folk. Secondly, let's just say that you're coming in because your spouse has told you she wants a divorce. Would you or would you not prefer that the previous week my wife told me she wanted a divorce? Now, would that make me better able to help you? You know,
I know exactly where you're coming from. 1 week ago, my wife told me the exact same thing. Dump the wench.
Would I be objective? How objective would I be, huh? Would I be burning up with my own problems and therefore would cloud whatever advice I'd give you? How about that one? If you have a tumor, say it's a benign tumor in your head, are you going to call around for neurosurgeons who have tumors? You say, have you ever had a tumor? Then don't operate on me, buddy. How about death? You know, have you ever experienced death personally? And I don't mean somebody else's death. I mean your own. You ever experienced your own death? You know what happens 8 seconds after you die? Well, you know, a lot of people write about death. Theologians do. Priests do. Our church does. Well, you know, we could say to them, have you ever died? Huh? I'm not talking about these people who have these near-death experiences and come back and the light in the tunnel and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about people who have actually died. Yeah, I was dead for a couple of minutes. Let me tell you what happened. I saw Christ. Mary was there. It was pretty cool. Now, there are those who say that. The question is it legit or not? So the point is this. Has having children helped me in my dealing with folks? Yes, it has. But it's helped me in ways they don't expect. For example, personally, I may know now the frustration of disciplining a child for 4 years and then still not getting this. Okay, personally, now I can relate to this. That doesn't mean my advice is any different. It just means personally, I know how you feel. If that helps you, okay. It gives me a little more material, you know, especially for the talks. This was a good business investment. Now that I look back on it, I've been able to do a lot more public speaking. Why? Because I got a steady source of material. From parole officer appointments all the way through to anger management issue encounter groups with my preschooler. She has anger issues. See, the only issues we had when a kid was... When we were a kid, you know, the only issues we had... Back issues, the Reader's Digest. That was the only issues we had in our house. Everybody's got issues. I got issues. You know? If I don't like issues, if I don't like this pop psychobabble issue talk, would that mean I have issues? I could issues. Don't do that to somebody. Don't tell them, you haven't walked in my shoes, therefore you can't give me any opinion that's valid. You can't give me any advice that might help me. You can't give me a thought or an idea that I hadn't considered because you just haven't been in my shoes. Don't do that. When you say that, what you're doing is you're telling them, I'm closed. I'm going to negate what you have to offer me if I don't like it. I'm going to devalue your status. You don't know. Now, granted, there are some pretty intense emotional experiences that human beings can have that other people who have not experienced them oftentimes will give bad advice or say stupid things. A classic example, the death of a child. Routinely, people will tell me who have experienced the death of a child that most folks who cannot grasp the emotional impact of an incident like this will say dumb things. They will say things that simply are coming from left field, and the bereaved says in their own mind, you don't know. That's a powerful case. But even then, that does not mean that all advice or ideas that somebody gives you regarding how to deal with that kind of tragedy is irrelevant or invalid. That doesn't mean any of that. You have to judge it on the basis of its own merits, not on the basis of whether they emotionally can walk in your shoes. Let me give you another point. Sometimes people will say, well, you don't have any kids, so don't tell me, because if you had kids, you'd do the exact same thing. Okay. Let's just suppose that I would, in fact, be as bad a disciplinarian as you are. What does that mean? That just simply means I don't follow my own advice. That's all. That's all it means. Remember in, it was Galatians, when Paul said, I spoke to Peter straight to his face, and I told him, hey, wait a minute. What are you doing? You said that people don't have to be circumcised. The Gentiles don't have to be circumcised. Now you're kind of showing partiality because you're afraid that the Jews are going to get mad at you because you're hanging around with the Gentiles. Well, that doesn't mean that what Peter said was wrong. Obviously, he'd been given guidance by the Holy Spirit. But what it means is Peter didn't do what his guidance was. That's a whole different issue. If I don't discipline my children, if you come to me as a therapist and I give you 22 ideas, and then you see my kids out in public, and they're setting fires and torturing small barnyard animals, and you say, well, this guy's, what the heck, that advice is terrible. Look at it. No, it just means I don't follow my own advice. That's all that means. That's a totally separate track. Big difference between hypocrisy and bad advice. Remember Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 3? Our Lord said, hey, look, listen to the scribes and Pharisees because they sit on the chair of Moses. They have the authority, but don't do as they do because they're hypocrites. They don't practice what they preach. So he said, look, they got the authority. Their ideas are the ones you should follow, their moral guidelines. But he said, they don't follow it. Different issue. All right?